From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio. This morning, it has come quite the monsoon overnight. Rain starting to dissipate a bit in the Oxford area. Maybe we won't lose internet connections or anything like that over the next 30 minutes. So thoughts and prayers would be appreciated, although by the time you're hearing this, we did or did not lose, and the prayers might have to be, you know, retroactive to work at that point. But either way, we appreciate you joining us today. Chris Malloy going to come on here in about 15, 20 minutes, the Ole Miss men's golf coach. We're going to pick some fantasy teams for the U.S. Open. I don't know, talk about something else too. We'll see what happens with Chris here in a bit on the show. I talked to Mike Bianco for a little bit yesterday. We'll discuss some of that. It's also going to be a podcast-heavy day as you get a beer garden with Brian Scott Rippey, the former Ole Miss graduate assistant for media relations, wrote some stories, including that big Parker Kuraisi piece.
He's actually coming back.
Earlier this season, he is covering the Reds for MLB.com as an intern this summer before returning to Oxford. So you'll hear a beer garden with him, also a soft verbal with Russell Johnson, again, coming out later today as well.
A long, long, long soft verbal.
You say that almost in a derogatory
way. No, just very long. A lot of recruiting, lots of recruiting. It's an hour, and this is going to be a fascinating thing. And by doing what I'm doing now, I'm ruining the test because there's so many people that are smart asses. It's an hour and 14 minutes plus. So it's got, you know, the 3 minutes of ads.
Okay.
3 minutes of ads. That's it.
I don't know if I could really handle that.
I know. It's got 3 minutes at the very end of Major League Baseball because he was wearing his Braves stuff and I asked his thoughts on the Braves. And it's got – he brought it up. We talked – because he heard what I said about LeBron and the Lakers. And Russell, I think, is a Cleveland Cavalier fan because of his roots.
Why do you keep screwing up recruiting podcasts with NBA talk?
I know.
Well, it is not an NBA show. It's not even the main show. That's a morning show.
I know. So we
you
ended
really
up
can't
having,
help it, can you? You got to put NBA in every freaking thing you do.
I do. So we ended up like 5 minutes.
See, this is where I get pissed off every time.
Yeah, 5 minutes of NBA. So it's like an hour and 3 minutes of recruiting and 11 minutes of other stuff. And I'm fascinated to see if – not the people who have a sense of humor and are going to be funny, but there's a handful of people that I anticipate getting all pissy because of a four-minute NBA segment.
Okay.
By the way, I think I'm really right on the LeBron to the Lakers
are
thing.
You? I'm
hearing it from enough national people now that I'm like, ooh, I might have stumbled across something.
So congratulations to the Craddock family, Ben, the What a Combo, Inc. people. They were at the a Crystal National Convention thing over the weekend. I believe it was in Chattanooga. Several different awards, including highest sales increases for the franchise, highest traffic increases, and also – one that I know means a lot to Ben, a community service award, as he does. He and his family do a ton for Oxford and Ole Miss and Mississippi in general, and we're glad to be a part of trying to assist him in that. So congratulations with that. And since it's a high-traffic area, hopefully many of you are using the SpeedPass Plus, where you save money and make it convenient to pay for your fuel at the Oxford Exxon or other Craddock locations right there from your mobile device. Again, don't have to worry about credit card skimmers or anything like that. And again, save money along the way. You can also save money with Clark Ford in Amory.
You can. Call the number 662-257-1900. Ask for Corey Clark. Just tell him what you're looking for, what Ford you're looking for. You can ask for a couple of quotes if you'd like. Say maybe you're looking at one type of car or another type or different years, whatever. You can get those quotes. He'll send them to you. No hassle, no haggling, right to the bottom line. And then it's up to you. You can make it as simple or as complex as you would like. That's your prerogative. At the end, you're going to end up coming back to Corey and the people at Clark Ford and letting them take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience like they've done for so many other podcast listeners, and self-included. And at that point, you get your new Ford. It's a great product. You'll get phenomenal service after the sale. all everything that you could possibly want out of your automotive purchase. You'll get it right there at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900. Mention that you heard about Clark Ford on any of the aforementioned podcasts. We're taping a Greatest Pod in the South this afternoon before Jay leaves for his excursion to Mexico.
That's right, yeah.
So we're taping that today. Mention any of those, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford and Amory.
Russell Johnson has a story up on the site about Pontotoc kicker Taylor Hughes and her decision to potentially try to play football at the SEC level as a kicker, go to a school and play soccer, kind of what's going on. Russell, good job there. Went a little more in-depth than your typical recruiting story. So that is up on the site, Taylor Hughes, Pontotoc kicker. Russell has that at rebelgrove.com. About 10 minutes before we go to Chris. I highlighted this yesterday. So I walked. We had a session with Mike Bianco yesterday, and he's had 8 days now to kind of digest the loss to Tennessee Tech. And I asked him, it was a lot of just stuff. And then I said, basically along the lines, I don't have the transcript in front of me, but Mike, you've had the last few years of postseasons that have not gone the way that you would hope they would. What do you do to, you know, for lack of a better term, not throw the baby out with the bathwater? Because they won 48 games. They won SEC West. They won the SEC tournament. How do you fix the part that needs fixing without altering everything else and having the discipline to do so?
Yes.
And there's not, you know, I'm going to read his answer in entirety here in a second. It's an intriguing thing because they clearly have some postseason issue.
Yes.
But it's got to stay in a context. And Mike Bianco said, quote, "You've got to be a big guy and look in the mirror, and it starts with me. What I need to do to improve, to have more success next year and going forward in this program, from assistant coaches down to trainers, equipment managers, and strength coaches, where can we get better? Where didn't we succeed? Where did we succeed? And how can we continue that path? Some of it's personnel and players. Some of it is that we do what we do right here in this office. I take a lot of pride in what we do as well as anybody, and don't just say, hey, we had a good year, and try to repeat that. It's not like we don't want to rock the boat. We want to win a national championship next year, and what do we need to do that?" It was a really good answer. It had no actual answer in it, but it's been a week. I didn't expect Mike to lay out a PowerPoint for me and go down a list of ideas on where we go from here.
I'm in the vast minority on this. I'm so in the minority on this that it's incredible. You know, as the guy that hates Ole Miss, that I have this take is it's got to be baffling to some of the people out there. If you go in and change the culture of your program and the chemistry of your program over one day, and it was one day, it was literally 8 hours and 53 minutes. You run the risk of altering it for good. And I don't mean for the good. I mean forever. They won 48 games. They did. They won 48 games. They won, I think, 7 out of 10 SEC series. They tied with Arkansas, which is in the College World Series, for the SEC West. They had the number 2 seed in the SEC tournament, and they won it. They got a home regional. I've always heard, hey, we really invest in baseball here, and we built Swayze to host regionals. He hosted a regional. They won on Saturday. They got rained out, and the rain hurt them. The rain hurt them. But it hurt everybody. It is what it is. They can't control the rain. I think you should fire Bjork for not stopping the weather system, but whatever. I mean, if you're going to be weak like that. They won on Saturday, and they won on Sunday. I hear people go, well, they shouldn't have thrown Rollison on Saturday. Well, then they would have thrown him on Sunday.
Yeah, he was never throwing the next day anyway.
And they won. So it literally, I mean literally, underlined, italicized, bolded, everything, put it in the bigger font, which is very confusing to the computer. It came down to Monday. It was one day.
Yeah, Mike continued, "You got to do it on the field, but this is a team that's done it on the field for 64 games and just didn't do it in the last one. as far as going forward, I think every year I don't look at it like, hey, it gives you a pass because you had a good year. I think it's worse when you had a bad year. You're super critical, but I would hope we're always critical. People know that, know me and know how we run this place. I think nothing's off limits, is how he closed.
And another thing, and I bet Chris Malloy would tell you this about the golf program.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to win in baseball more than Mike Bianco. Literally, I don't think there's a soul on earth who wants Ole Miss to win a national championship in baseball more than Mike Bianco. I can't think of one person. I think if you were to able to measure desire, he would win that race. Probably in a landslide. The team wasn't focused on that Monday because of the draft is complete, forgive me, horseshit. There was only one player who was going to get drafted on that Monday, Ryan Rollison. Ryan Rollison was not pitching on that Monday. He was a cheerleader.
Mike and I actually had a decent conversation about that part of it as well. That we might save that for tomorrow's show or later in the show. But anyway,
maybe it's a distraction, but it's a distraction for all sorts of teams. It wasn't the reason they had a bad Monday. It wasn't the draft. It just wasn't. I'm a Cubs fan, Chase.
Well, it wasn't about one day. It was about years. I mean, the people that are mad, they're not mad about Monday.
I know
they're mad they've been to one Super Regional in the last 9 years.
But literally, had they won one game Monday, they wouldn't have had any of this conversation about the previous years.
No.
And that, yeah, did regionals are crapshoots, man. Regionals are crapshoots. Look at Florida State today, Georgia today. Those are two teams that we talked about it before. There were going to be 8 national seeds, and they were not all going to advance. And next year there will be 8 national seeds, and they will not all advance. I'm a Cubs fan. The Cubs on Monday night played a beautiful baseball game in Milwaukee and won. The exact same group of human beings yesterday turned around and played another baseball game against the same team in the same venue, and were horrible. It is baseball.
Yeah, and look, it's somewhere in the middle of it was just a bad day, and there is a tightness or a different feeling on the day where you might not have the next day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And managing.
And he hinted at. He seemed to hint at that.
Yeah, you know, like I texted a bunch of former players and people yesterday, just kind of going, "What do you think?" Just kind of, I'm not going to quote them; they never bought to be
right,
quoted.
Right.
It's just, hey, what's the deal? And like one person told me that in 14, that Godwin, when they went to Lafayette, up behind Mike on the shelf, he just put a tube of Vaseline and just sat it there, and it was kind of the running joke: "Hey guys, stay loose." I mean, intended purposes that everybody's aware of. You know, it was just kind of there for the players to sort of go, hey, chill. It's all right. We're just playing a game of baseball. And it was sort of a token to go, hey, we're good. It's fine.
Because Mike was kind of getting tight?
Well, just in general. The program and being at that point, everybody was just tight.
Oh,
Godwin just had a tube of Vaseline up there and went, chill. It's all good. And
yeah.
I think probably in postseason, some of that levity is needed. It's probably what helps State a lot is, hey, guys, you're just having fun and playing baseball. You're the better team. Chill out and go play.
Is it winning the World Series?
It's the irony, and people go, hey, they don't care. No, they care too much.
Yeah, in the World Series, the Cubs talked about how they got down 3-1, and so Anthony Rizzo went back to his dance naked in the middle of the clubhouse thing, did the Rocky thing, did the boxing completely naked. And so the players, you can't help but laugh at that. I mean, it's like, what the hell are you doing? And then you realize it's just a game. But it's a thing that perpetuates itself. Oh, God, here we are. It's the postseason. Oh, my God, here we go. Like you guys, before the regional started, you're like, hey, you know, Parrish Alford asked a question about you haven't won a postseason game since Omaha, and Mike sort of jokingly said, you guys aren't going to ask that day after day after day, are you?
Because then they will think about it, yeah.
Which is, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, all right, we made it to the postseason. All right, now let's make sure we stay loose. Let's make sure we stay loose, right? Hey, guys, get loose. Be loose, fellas. Okay, you're telling us to be loose, so do we need to be tight? And it just becomes this over and over thing. And I'll be honest, as we wrap this up, I don't think there is an easy fix. I think it's one of those things where at some point you just break through.
You can read my story with Mike on the site at rebelgrove.com. I have more in the coming days, about 30 minutes worth of interviews, but that was the main thing that was discussed. I'll have some other things. Again, we discussed the Ryan Rawlinson deal that I'll probably get into in tomorrow's podcast, just about ESPN asking for certain things. What do you say? Yes, no. What do you allow on draft night? What do you not allow on draft night? It got a little more complicated than I think some people thought it might have been at the time. So
the timing of it could not have been worse.
Mike's begging for one more day. Just do it Tuesday, Wednesday,
yeah,
Thursday. That's all he's asking for.
I think that's fair.
Just move it 3 days where there are no games in action those days.
The problem, and we talked about this, Major League Baseball's response, I think, would be something along the lines of, you've got a point. We'll think about it. I'll tell you up front, our problem is this. Everyone plays on Tuesday night. If you look at the schedule on that Monday, I think only 10 of the 30 Major League teams played games.
Now, you could always make that where that's Tuesday. I mean, that is doable.
You could fix it. It would be more complicated.
Major League Baseball is fine sacrificing 12 kids, 15 kids, 20 kids, whatever it is, maybe 40 kids, I don't know, over scheduling, basically.
They are. You would be asking teams to, hey, like, if, for example, fly into Seattle on Sunday night, right, after your game in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. You fly to Seattle on Sunday, play Monday, have Tuesday off, play Wednesday, play Thursday, fly to Detroit and play Friday, and the Players Association would go, seriously? Why are we doing that? Why are we taking a day off in the middle of a series in June? So I get that everybody's going to have to kind of try to find a way to compromise a little.
Yeah.
For the people who say, well, why is that a big deal? It's a big deal because if you're the general manager of the Tigers and you're doing the draft that night, and that's the night that your ace pitcher feels something in his forearm, you've got other things to deal with as opposed to being able to just focus in on the draft. Mm-hmm. That's the deal.
So we'll talk a little golf now with Chris Molloy. We'll go over what Braden Thornberry is going to do in his future, as well as make some U.S. Open picks, get a little competition going, and more. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Brandon White at Keys to Dream Travel, completely free service specializing in Walt Disney World and Disney Cruise Line vacations, taking the stress out of planning, taking care of dining and fast pass reservations, transportation, and all else related to your vacation. Mention the podcast to get a $25 Disney gift card for booking, and you can find him for a free, no-obligation quote at brandon@keystodreamtravel.com or 901-634-8687.
The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. If you try 7 South Tailgating once, you'll never tailgate without them again. 7 South will set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one's going to match their customer service, their attention to detail. Whether you're coming up for one game, for four games, for seven games, whether your tailgate is really simple and basic, or whether your tailgate is really complex, they can take care of you, and they'll make it where you'll never want to tailgate without them again. 7SouthTailgating.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than 4 decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for. And then send him an email. He'll take care of the rest. It's ha@harryalexander.com.
Now, Chris Malloy on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Chris, welcome in this morning. I told Neil on Monday that you thought you could take him. We get back on a golf course. He had Jonathan's help with a couple drives over Christmas. He has not picked up a golf club since. I think you've got about a 75-shot advantage. However, he did extend another challenge that if we can find a putt course, he thinks he can take you.
Well, listen, I'm not saying I can take him now. I just, you know, that comment was, if I really got out there, you gave me about a month to get my game in shape, I think I like my chance.
Don't back away from all your big words. Just embrace them. I mean, all I said was that while I think you're probably a good golfer, and you seem to be a solid dude, I believe that if I were to compete against you when you got on the pirate course, for example, when you got in the cave, I think the darkness could break you.
Neil, it sounds like a challenge, and I'll be honest with you, I'm up for this.
That's awesome. I want to propose a venue, but for the sake of all of our sanities, I won't. But I think you know what I'm thinking, but I'll leave it there.
Somewhere at least sort of near the Florida Panhandle is what you're thinking?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, gosh. Yeah, Chris, you played, I think you've told me too, so you played 3 rounds of golf in a year?
I have. That was, I played last July with a group of guys up in New York. Then I played with some donors of ours and friends over at Shoal Creek in September. And then I had the unfortunate experience of going over and playing Augusta National in February. Somebody had to do it, so yeah. I figured it might as well be me. So did that and played 2 rounds over there and then with you. So, yeah. Shoot, you know, us at Tupelo Country Club, I mean, I'll take that over Augusta. I mean,
it was.
In all seriousness, what was playing Augusta like as someone who's a – Your life is, at least your professional life, has been dedicated to golf. What was it like to walk that course and play it?
It was amazing. You know, and it's my third time over there, and it never gets old. It's just one of those places that, you know, you grow up watching on TV. I was fortunate enough to go there as a kid to the tournament, you know, with my dad. And so I've just have so many great memories of it. Right. And, you know, but you walk out there and it's unbelievable. And, you know, the impressive part is it's all right there out there in the open. So, I mean, right when you go out back of the clubhouse, it hits you right in the face. I mean, it is all right there. So, it was cool. Had the opportunity to do it with my team, which was even more special and to take, I think I've kind of gotten to that point. You almost enjoy watching the people around you that have not been there, that you know, it's the Holy Grail. So, I mean, they're walking out and seeing it for the first time and about to play it for the first time. I think watching their faces is probably as cool of a part of the trip as you can get. But it's great. I mean, it's everything you think. I mean, it's green, lots and lots of green. And then, you know, the golf course itself, you know, tee to green is, it's fine. I mean, it's tough to get into trouble. I mean, there's no really out of bounds. I mean, on a couple of holes you have out of bounds, but, you know, it's, you know, every hole on the right or left, you know, has either trees that are going to knock your ball down. You're just going to be sitting there in the pine straw, or there's another hole that's right there. And so, you know, the challenge of it is once you actually get onto the green, and I think that's where your fun begins. And That can break a grown man quickly on those greens.
Yeah, I've talked to everybody I've talked to that's ever gone over there and played. There are two things that they were kind of surprised by were the hospitality of caddy, staff, everybody that you're basically a, you know, kind of a member for the day playing, and then two, the crazy undulation that TV can't really, you know, tell you about.
That's the thing. You know, once you get on those greens, it's, I mean, like the 14th green, for example, man, I mean, it's I mean, I'm going to be a terrible reference of how many feet of undulation it is, but it's huge. I mean, if you're down on that right side, which is the lower portion of that green, and that pins up on the left, I mean, it's like going up a small mountain. Six is the same way, and it's just the green complexes are so unique, undulating. It's fun. It's fun.
You're going to Shinnecock tomorrow morning. Braden Thornberry, an afternoon round tomorrow. He's going off with Brant Snedeker and Jason Duffner Friday on the morning. Pretty comfortable pairing for Braden. I know you've known the Snedekers a long time, and you'll get to see a lot of people up there for a day or so.
Yeah, and Chase, let me stop you. The way we phrase things, like with my golf team, it's kind of it's turned into a joke. Is everyone always asks, all right, who are we playing with tomorrow? Who are we playing with? Well, a joke amongst our team is, well, they're playing with us. So
gotcha.
If Braden Thornberry or one of my golfers got on here and heard me say he's playing with somebody, well, it's 20 push-ups automatically. So I'm going to say,
push-ups.
Brant and Duffner are playing with him, which will be really cool. And he's got a sense of comfort with Brant. He played a practice round with him. Where Brant played a practice round with him in Sea Island when he played the RSM Classic. As you alluded to, Brant's brother Haynes, played golf here, was a roommate and teammate of mine in college. Brant's just great. I mean, I think if you've ever watched Brant on TV, you get what you see. He's down to earth. He's going to make you feel very comfortable, to the point he saw Braden paired up in another practice round tee time yesterday, went over and grabbed him and said, you're not playing in that group. You're going to play with, me and a couple of guys. He pulled him over for a practice round yesterday, which was really cool, right? He didn't have to do that. His only tie to Braden is that he's played with him a couple of times and then our relationship. So that'll be great. I mean, it's in such a high pressure situation. It's his first major. Any sense of comfort you can get, that's huge. So he's had a sense of comfort there. And then Duffner, which, I mean, if that doesn't give you a sense of comfort, then, nothing will, right? I mean, he's not going to get rattled by a whole lot. So I think once your heart starts racing around, if you're Braden and kind of start freaking out, I think all you got to do is look over and, look at the fat guy to your left and see Duffner just, floating around, not knowing what time it is or what hole he's on.
Wearing a hat he got at a truck stop on the way into town. He's
right, exactly. So, I mean, I think he can find a way to calm down and get on his breathing pattern.
Brayton's had such a decorated career to this point. He announces at the FedEx, maybe it was known, maybe it wasn't. I really hadn't talked to you or him or anybody else lately. He's coming back at least for the fall. How often do you get that question? Just because so many people think, oh, go get money, go do this now, and everything he's done. It seems like people that don't kind of know his personality, demeanor, or whatever he's got going on, they almost sort of get frantic about the fact that he's still in school.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I get that question a lot. I mean, I'd say it's probably 15 to 30 times a day.
Yeah,
I mean, that's about it.
Yeah.
So every now and then, and it's a fair question. I mean, I would ask that same thing if I were somebody on the outside looking in. But at the end of the day, as you and I discussed on Monday, once you dive, fairly deep into it, it does make sense. And it hadn't been a matter of, after he won the NCAA championship, I sat him down and said, man, you're going to have a lot of choices. Your life has changed. But you're going to need to make decisions. You're going to have tough decisions to make in regards to turning pro. I said, I'll support you in whatever you would like to do, whether that would be turning pro tomorrow, whether that be trying to finish out 4 years, whatever it is, I'll support you. And the first thing he did was look at me and said, coach, as far as I'm concerned, professional golf is not going anywhere, right? And that takes a pretty mature young man, because I can tell you this, I would have probably jump for the money. When I was his age, I would have, jumped ship or, done the, next coolest thing. And a lot of 19, 20 year olds, would have done. But he saw the big picture. And we sat down and we've become very educated in this process. And we've educated him in this process. I think what you're finding, I think the simplest way to put it for those out there that don't know is with golf, you don't have to strike just while the iron's hot. In golf, you build a resume. So Brendan Thornberry won the NCAA championship. He's always going to have that on his resume. So when he does decide to turn pro, whether that would have been, you know, 6 months ago, whether it be right now, whether that be in 2 years, he is still an NCAA champion. And you just, all you do is build on that resume. So if he goes out and just would have had an average year this year, it wouldn't have killed him. He still has that resume. And that's the unique part of golf. And that's the hard part that people don't understand. You know, with football and with basketball and maybe baseball, I'm not sure exactly how that one works, but you're kind of the hot guy, right? It's who's the hot guy this, you know, this year, this month, you know, going on, who had the good combine. It's not that much. It's not that way as much in golf. So he's building on his resume. He's going to do it on his timeline, which at this point is come back, play our fall schedule, then go to the web.com Q School, which is right when our season ends, and go through that as an amateur. And if he makes it through and basically gets full status, well, he's probably going to need to go. And, you know, the time's right. He's going to have a tour to play on. He's going to have status on that tour. If he doesn't make it through, say worst case scenario, he, you know, doesn't play well, doesn't make it through, well, then he comes back now on the same time frame and the same schedule as 99% of, you know, normal college golfers do. And he can prepare himself, go win, you know, build, like I said, build on that resume, win another NCAA championship, get a player of the year, whatever it may be, and then turn pro. And he knows what's ahead of him. And it's just a natural process.
The PGA Tour school is gone. Now you've got the Web Tour school. You can also make it through sponsor exemptions. You get seven or so. How many people get invited to the Web through the Q school? Do you have any idea?
I don't, but they, yeah. So you have pre-qualifying, then you have first stage, second stage, you have a lot of stages. And with his world amateur ranking, and I think there are a couple other things he's done that get him exempt into the second to last stage of Q school. So he doesn't have to go to the pre-qualifier and then the first round. He gets exempt into the second to last stage, which is a huge advantage. But that number of who, like how many guys start with that pre-qualifier? Ooh, good God. It's a lot.
Is it open, or do you have to, for that first very pre-qualifier, I mean, what are sort of the requirements to even get into that thing?
I think they have some requirements on paper of maybe what your handicap is.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But let me tell you, I think the PGA Tour will gladly take your money to go shoot your 80, 78, you know, 82 and be on your way. I think, I'm pretty sure they're going to gladly take your $4,000.
Yeah, it's just like every four handicap that goes, hey, I'm going to go qualify for the U.S. Open. Well, they'll let you try. They'll give you a shot at it. It's fine.
You're going to have your shot at it. You're definitely going to have your shot at it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to have a little competition. We discussed this on Monday. We're going to pick one golfer in each of several categories, put together a five-man fantasy team. Once a golfer has been picked for a category, he cannot be picked again. And the way I see it, what we'll do is we'll add up total money won at the end to determine the winner. Are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. Honest, have you grinded on that?
I have not really grinded on this. I'll tell you what I did is I had to make sure our first category, I'll go and tell everybody, is a golfer that's 5'10" or shorter. I had to check a couple official heights is what I had to do.
Ooh. Yeah, this one will be a good one.
Yeah, that was what I had to do. Is I had to check a couple heights with a couple guys. I'm assuming that NCAA rules prohibit you from betting, but maybe we'll figure out something for winners and losers before this is done. So,
correct. There is no gambling on
this. Yes, there is no gambling on this. We are just doing it to do it. The NCAA would not like that. I don't think.
No doubt. And I'm not going to mess with those guys.
Yeah, no. You don't need a compliance meeting tomorrow morning, Chris.
No, sir. I'm going to follow the rules.
All right. You want first pick or second pick? You want to take the first three or two and four to pick first? Because we're doing a little snake draft here.
I'll let you do the first pick.
You want to do first? Okay. First category, 5'10" and shorter. And I'm going to open it up with Rory McIlroy.
Wow. He's 5'10"?
He's 5'9" on the on the thing. Yes. Take a break in our talk with Chris. Tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing and the float down option. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704. Or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
This podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. They have great lease deals. We tell you about those all the time. You can get a 1990s price on a 2018 vehicle on a lease from Grenada Nissan. Learn more at GrenadaNissanUSA.com. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell and Associates. Gambrell and Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website, msbnkr.com, or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Super Lawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell and Associates handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. For more information, call the office in Hernando at 662-342-7700 or in Oxford at 662-281-8800. And the podcast is brought to you by Lauren Valick Ferris with Briggs Freeman Sotheby's in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area. Lauren is consistently ranked as a top agent producer in D Magazine, was recently named a 2017 Advocate Top 10 Realtor in the Lakewood East Dallas area. So whether you're moving home, buying, selling, or referring a friend in one of the hottest housing and job markets in the country, you need a realtor who knows the town. That's Lauren. 469-867-1734, or go to her site, laurenandkellywiththeey.com. Now back to Chris Malloy on the Billy's Pecans Hotline on the Oxford Exxon podcast.
Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You sneaky dog, been doing your homework.
I did a little homework.
I'm going to take my doppelganger, Kevin Kisner.
Kevin Kisner, is he 5'10 or shorter?
We look fairly similar, and we are the exact same height, so I'm going to assume he's 5'10".
He is exactly 5'10". You are
he's
good.
Not taller than that.
No, you're good. He is 5'10".
Yep.
That is good. All right, next category. You are picking first, and you are doing Never Made a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup.
Wow. Woo. I think this one's going to be – that one's the tough one. Wow. Who's on your list for this one?
Okay, I've got three that I'm looking to choose from. I'm picking European players because they guys that kind of emerged after the 16 selections. So I think the best three picks for this are John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, or Alex Noren.
Wow. Those are some pretty good ones.
Yeah, I think those are the best ones.
Fleetwood plays great in every major.
He does.
I'm going to go John Rahm.
You're going to go Rahm. Okay. And I am going to go Fleetwood. That was who I had picked out. I saw a thing here, Justin Ray, that does all the stats and stuff for the Golf Channel. The average of the last, like, 10 U.S. Open winners is ranked 12.1 in the world and is, like, 27.3 years old. Tommy Fleetwood is 27 years old and ranked 12th in the world.
Wow.
Hit it on the number in both categories for over the last 10 years. All right, I get to pick first here. Do what? Go ahead.
What's that?
I said, okay, I'm picking first here. The next category is first name starts with the letter J. This is interesting because – 5 of the top 10 players in the world, I believe, have the first name starting with the letter J, and then there's not another one for like 45 places in the world rankings. But there's 5 in the top 10. So get a lot of choices here. I'm going to go with Jason Day.
That's a good one. I'll throw out another little deal, too, because I just pulled my computer up as we started this.
Mm-hmm.
And to, you know, click on the field, and the PGA Championship winners the last 5 years, all of them started with J. Justin Thomas, Jimmy Walker, Jason Day, Jason Duffner.
Wow.
Quick little fact.
Yeah, didn't know that.
Fun fact.
Okay.
I'm going Justin Thomas. He's great.
Justin Thomas. Okay, got that. All right, category here. I thought you can pick this one first. It allows you to do that. Coached by Chris Malloy is our next category.
I mean, do I have a choice? I got to go with my man Teddy, Braden Thornberry.
Okay. I didn't know about you. You have multiple people that you've coached inside this field. I mean, if you're going to
I like Teddy's chances this week. I really do. I know it. No, it sounds like a homer pick, but this golf course is sets up well for him. Of course, I also think it sets up great for Brooks Koepka as well. So, but I like my man.
Yeah, I saw this morning that I think Fried Egg, one of their previews, they picked Braden as the low am. He's getting a little buzz this morning along the way. So, I will. You're going to give me a free space here, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to go with Brooks Koepka. That's an easy one. Now that you've
that's a good one.
You've chosen Thornberry, and then our final category went to an SEC school is the next one, and yeah, I'm gonna lead it off, and I'm going to go with, let's see who's left on my list. I've got a couple things written down. I'm gonna round out mine with Patrick Reed.
I mean. Okay, there's an asterisk besides that. I mean, he started out.
I did not say graduated from SEC institution. I said went to SEC school. Thank you very much.
Man, you got this thing rigged. You've done your research. You know it.
Welcome to my world here, Chris. Welcome to my world. How do you like it, huh?
That's unbelievable.
I mean.
I tell you, I'm going to go with an outside pick. I'm going to go Brian Harman.
Okay. I actually had Harman down in a couple of different things. He's had an incredibly solid year. He's losing some Ryder Cup points, but the way he plays in match play, I'd really like to see him on the Ryder Cup team.
So the deal with Shinnecock, the reports, I'm getting back. As I said, I hadn't stepped foot on property. I'll be up there tomorrow, but so I hear it's pretty generous off the tee. You know, fairways are a little bit wider. When you get in that fescue, you're at least finding your ball, and you can punch it back out, which is a big advantage to some of these, you know, bigger hitters. That's why I like Brooks and all that. But what I'm hearing, it's going to come down to, I hear that the greens are hard to hit. So even if you're in the fairway, even though it may be a bigger green, you have to hit it to a certain section or it's just rolling off into collection areas. And it's who misses it in the right place and who can get it up and down, who can chip and putt. And I like Brian Harman. He's, you know, his short game is tough to beat. That's why I like Braden. And I think Braden will play well this week. That's kind of his game. He's pretty disciplined player. And then, man, he can chip and putt his eyes out.
That sounds almost more like an Augusta scouting report than maybe some different U.S. Open scouting reports.
No, I agree. It's very similar to that. And, you know, I tell you, last year was a little bit of the same deal. I mean, you had to, you know, there were a lot of runoffs and, you know, different collection areas that you had to, you know, chip and putt it really well. And that's not every U.S. Open, right? I mean, you know, a lot of those, you go to Marion, you go to maybe Olympic Club, you know, a lot of these others that it's thick rough, and that thick rough, you know, wraps around those greens. You're not going to see that a ton this week. It's going to be probably more similar to a Chambers Bay, you know, somewhat Aaron Hills last year. And I think that's going to reflect, you know, be, like you said, a similar scouting report, probably a similar winner to, you know, what Augusta will have.
Humor me for 90 seconds here. I mentioned this to Neil, and he had never heard of anything and didn't really care either way. Were you surprised anyone gave a crap about the whole backstopping argument in the last week?
Yeah, I really was. You know, because it's been going on for a while, and it's, you know, I mean, the older guys get, you know, their feathers ruffled about, you know, certain things, right? And it's, you know, sometimes it's the through line, and that, you know, the through line is, you know, everyone knows what somebody's line is putting, but the through line is, so if you and I are sitting here playing golf and I know where your line is, well, now I have to think what the through line would be on the other side. So in case you miss your putt,
uh-huh,
and you have a 3 footer coming back, I don't step in that 3 foot area. Okay. So that was the big talk for a long time is, God, I mean, you guys got to watch the through line, and it's still a thing. The backstopping deal. Well, I never even realized that, you know, it's what they say against the spirit. They say it's against the rules, but the spirit of the game to not mark your ball. It's a little bit bizarre to me that it's gaining traction, but I think it'll be something that, you know, that'll, you know, be people will talk about for, you know, a couple more weeks, and then it'll go away.
Have you ever even mentioned that with your kids ever?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Yeah. Just curious.
Not at all. Now, I mean, if there's a ball that's sitting up there and it's right next to the hole, I mean, when I say it could hit that ball and then go in, right? You don't do it then. I think that's pretty, you know, that's a pretty big deal, you know, if it's that close to the hole. But I think where it's gaining traction now is even if it's 2 feet by, you just always got to mark your ball. I see the argument and I understand it. I think it's a little bit crazy. It's getting as much traction as it has.
I just thought of this because I've been engrossed by the Pirates Diamondbacks series this week, where they've been retaliating by throwing baseballs at one another for the better part of 3 days. In the event that you think it is appropriate that the other team mark their ball and they don't, and they almost sort of taunt you with the unmarking of the ball, how would you as a golf coach retaliate? I mean, do you throw golf balls at them? Do you throw a club at them? Do you go up and mark the ball yourself? I mean, how do you extract revenge in a situation where someone is clearly not obeying the unwritten rules of the game?
Well, Neil, I mean, I think at that point in time, those are fighting words. I think you just, you know, drop the clubs and you get out and you brawl and handle it man to man.
That is awesome. Let me know when that's going to happen, because I'm there. I want to see that. I want to see the backstopping brawl.
Right. You see Bubba Watson and Kevin Kisner, all of a sudden they're rolling down the hill and hitting each other and, you know, getting after it. I don't think you're ever going to encounter it. To be honest with you, it's the flip side of that. It's the guy that wants to keep it there, right? I mean, so let's say you hit a ball up there and it's a foot or 2 feet away from the hole. Your ball is there. It's the guy, it's me. So if I'm next to play, I think what you're seeing is I'm going to go a little bit quicker, you know, before you have a chance to mark your ball. I don't think you're ever going to encounter a situation where I say, hey, Neil, can you go up and mark your ball? And you go, nope. I don't think that's ever happened or will. At that point in time, it's just kind of, that's really against the spirit of the game. So I think the backstopping deal just is referring to me using your ball to help me. It's never going to be, you know, the opposite way where it's a hindrance or messing with me.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Exactly. We need to spice this game up a little bit.
Enjoy Shinnecock tomorrow. If you want to fly me up, I'll give Braden a quick putting lesson before he goes off. I probably can write that off some way, and then we'll, you know, I could hang around for the day, maybe 2 days, something like that, if you'd like.
There's bound to be a recruit up there somewhere that you need to talk to, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Somewhere around.
Chase, I'm going to brag on you for a quick second. Uh-huh. I mean, Neil, he may not have told you, but he made about 90 feet worth of putts on on Monday. So he's not working very hard in the studio here, and he's obviously been working on his putting. So I was impressed.
Yeah, getting to the green was a struggle at times, but it went okay once it was on the green, so it was all right.
You know, it's funny, Chris.
You were lights out.
It's funny, Chris. He played with in the Pro-Am here in Oxford against the Korean.
Sun J-M.
I couldn't think of his name. Was it the 11th hole?
It was the fifth hole that I won. Yeah.
We've told – I can pretty much close my eyes and picture the fifth hole. Now, if I ask about the 6th or the 8th or the 13th, things get a little blurry. But that fifth hole where he beat Sun J-M by 2 strokes, that's – we've heard a lot about that. A lot.
Well, it's funny you'd say that because I already knew the story. He told me all about it on Monday. So, yeah, he has not forgotten that fifth hole. I think he's tried to watch where, you know, M is on the money list with, you know, the web.com.
Number one. He feels
he should be slightly above that.
Yeah, he is number one. I'm hoping he wins a major because that will keep my story in float the rest of my life. You know, Sun J-M, the 2020 PGA champion. Let me tell you a little bit about that day. Yeah, back
let me tell you about 30 minutes of that day.
Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, I tell you, we talk about putting, and I witnessed something on – I was walking around with Braden at the FedEx St. Jude on Saturday. And think about this. Through 9 holes, he had made 90 feet worth of putts, and he had 10 total putts. Through 9 holes, sometimes you can get a statistic like that because you just didn't hit but 1 or 2 greens and you were just chipping it up and tapping it in. But I think he hit about 7 greens and had 10 putts.
Yeah, when he gets rolling, it's pretty dang impressive.
I've never seen anything like that. And then total up 90 feet worth of putts in 9 holes. That was pretty strong.
Yeah. All right, safe trip to you, bud, and we'll talk to you soon. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Howdy, howdy.
Thanks to Chris for joining the show. The podcast is also brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773 to get your annual contracts in motion. Take care of aeration, landscaping, building some outdoor kitchen area, maybe an outdoor living area, or other structures if you so desire. You can find them again, 662-607-7773.
As Chase mentioned, Chris Malloy joined us on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Jeffrey Wright will join us on said hotline tomorrow. Billy's Pecans can take care of all of your gifting needs, your corporate gifting needs. They know the perfect crunch for every palate, whether it's a gift for a corporate client, presents for the staff, or tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it, all with expertise and excellence, all with their signature Southern style, with items at every price point. You simply can't choose wrong. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and More, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404.
Podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs. Tyson Drugs, they're in Holly Springs. Also online at TysonDrugs.com, and they have a great app to take care of your pharmaceutical needs. 662-252-2321, also now in Oxford as well, G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, and they deliver local with the same great service. Appreciate Chris for giving us some time this morning. Have a little fun with him over the course of the week as the U.S. Open does begin on Thursday. Again, Thornberry paired with Snedeker and Duffner for the first 2 days. Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, as he tries to make the cut in his first major, as like other events. If he doesn't make the cut and get paid, he doesn't get the money, but he will give it a shot at turning professional with the web.com qualifying school at the end of the year. So just quick updates there for those who are not aware of some of the golf intricacies, which is a lot of people. I don't blame you. I understand for not being tied into that. Neil, we hadn't talked about this. Still blowing up on Twitter a little this morning. And I've seen very level-headed people on very hard lines on both sides of it.
Okay.
Where'd you fall on the high school pitcher the other day with the kid?
Oh, I know. I've been so shocked at the people who are so worked up on this.
Let me, for anybody who's been under a rock, I think it was sectional finals, the state semifinals, something like that. It was not the state finals, but it was a long way into the playoffs.
Yes. The winning team would move to the
state finals.
State tournament
or whatever.
Yeah, and the losing team's season would be complete.
So, two teams playing each other that are from the same area.
In Minnesota, right?
Yes, I believe that is correct. And the pitcher strikes out a kid to end the game and immediately runs to home plate, hugs the batter, kind of walks with him, continuing to hold him, and then after about 10 seconds, joins his team around the mound.
That's about right.
To celebrate the win. They were apparently have been friends since childhood, and it has created quite the conversation on both sides on Twitter.
I've had people say, what would you think if your son did that? I think I'd be proud of him. Now, I wouldn't have had a problem had he gone and celebrated with his teammates and then taken a moment in the handshake line to hug his friend. I know this is crazy. I don't have a hot take either way. I don't know the extent of their friendship. I know what he told him, that, hey, our friendship's bigger than a baseball game, bigger than an at-bat. I just wanted you to know that. And he was comforting the kid. Their season had just ended. The game was, I think, 20-10.
Oh, was it really?
That was one of the things that was interesting to me. If I read that right, the game was a blowout. So it was one of those deals where
the outcome was known here.
But you're down 10 runs at the end. The odds are overwhelming. They're probably not going to work out today for us, fellas. So I don't know. Were you bothered by it?
Okay, no, bothered is by far not the right word.
Okay.
I found it odd for a couple reasons.
Okay.
One, blowout would make it even odder than bases loaded. This is the Mr. Destiny moment that never happens, and the kid has to live with this entire life. I mean, his team got blown out. It happens. I mean, my last year of high school baseball, we got eliminated in the playoffs for whatever year. I don't really remember the score. I mean, at this point, it wasn't a big deal, whatever.
Yeah. Life marches on.
Yeah, it is what it is. The kid, the batter, it wasn't like, I think I saw somebody say this on Twitter. It might have been Zach Kirksey, former Miss player. It's not like the kid went down on a knee and was doing this emotional devastation thing as soon as the game ended. It clearly, while it was a reflex.
It was a bad call, by the way. The pitch was outside.
Was it really?
Yeah.
It had to be, at least in that pitcher's mind, that if I get him out, I'm going home to him at some point, I think. Even subconsciously, the way he reacted so quick when the batter did not seem to give a physical, oh my God, moment.
Right.
Made me go.
No, we couldn't see his face.
No, that's true.
So, yeah.
But made me go, a little bit.
You think maybe it's possible that he was seeking attention? He knew there would be this outcry?
No, I mean, that's taking it another step, potentially. I don't know, maybe. But I do think when that moment happens, unless there's some obvious, oh my God, this kid's really struggling right here.
Right.
Celebrate with your team and then hug him in a minute. I did think neglecting that moment with your catcher, with your team, was a little weird.
His teammates did not seem bothered by it.
Well, they tried to grab him, but then they're excited. They're like, I don't know what he's doing, but okay. Whatever.
And they went and celebrated. And then when he came to them,
they came back.
They embraced him. So it didn't seem to be.
Well, I don't think the catcher was going to throw his mitt at him or anything.
No, the catcher did kind of was like, whatever. And then one of the coaches walked by and looked at it like, whatever.
Wait, what are you going to say to the pitcher who finishes the game, though? Hey, dude, get over here. Yeah. I mean, whatever, but.
I didn't have this. I saw all these people go, oh man, that's fantastic. That's what sports
I guess I was in
be.
The middle. Like
I was clearly.
It was a little weird to me, but then at the same time, I didn't go, well, that is the most humanitarian moment I've seen in the last two decades.
Right.
Well, no.
No. It but okay. I don't. I saw people go, oh, see, snowflakes. I'm like, no, come on. I don't know the, I don't know the extent of their friendship. I don't know. Are they deep friends who talk all the time, and they talked about how they really dreaded facing each other, or I don't know. There's bound to be more of a backstory there.
20-10.
But if I'm right and the score was what it was,
You know, if it's one run, bases loaded, full count, and the bad call ends it, you might go, oh, that kid, that sucks. But
by the way,
yeah,
why is home plate umpiring so bad lately? You and I never talked about this. One of my hot takes with you in conversations was the umpiring is so bad. That outside pitch that they miss, and it's happening in the major leagues now. They're missing so many pitches, and I realize umpiring is hard.
It's very hard.
Where do you stand on the robotic, the robot calling balls and strikes?
I'm perfect with it.
I am too.
Perfect. 100%. Fine. There's like the people that say, hey, I need instant replay because that's part of the game. It's like, no, get the call right. It's not part of the game to have screw-ups.
No, I like getting it fixed.
Now, I need it quick. Don't tarry with me. And let's make it, you know, the problem with the SEC is that they didn't have the ability to be 100% with it. So even then they miss replays. Everyone, well, what are we doing if you can't even look at the replay and get it right?
Yeah.
Because your camera is not doing a fast enough high-speed action or whatever you're doing to blur it. I mean, like at Ole Miss A&M that night, they clearly missed the call, but the guy comes out and goes, yeah, the camera didn't catch it. It's like, well, that took 8 minutes. I mean, I think when Mike walked over to him, he's like, so what'd you been doing for the last 10 minutes?
Which is a fair question.
What'd you do?
Well, we've been figuring out what to say to you.
Yeah. So, no, I'm cool with the robotics. No, I need a guy back there for out safe. But, yeah, I'm cool.
So you turn him into a base umpire?
You do, yeah.
Where does he stand?
As odd as this is, it would be a different mechanism still in the same spot, right? Just not as maybe low, maybe not as – still got stuff on.
Yeah, because he
still
hurt.
Got stuff on, and you still have got to be maintained from a management of the game standpoint. It's not like you can stand over in the on-deck circle and run in.
Would you still need him for check swings?
Well, I mean, the only check swings that he does are the swings – at the plate.
Right, but he would be the one that would point down.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I don't need a replay on a check swing. Just call it one way or the other. I'm fine there. But, yeah, I'm 100% in.
Yeah, I am too.
Done. No issue whatsoever.
No, I'm pro-robot.
I'm pretty pro-robot.
Yeah.
If you can get it right. I mean, what do? You put a little green and red light up?
I would think so.
Ding.
Yeah, I would think there's a mechanism.
I mean, we don't need the hockey goal buzzer every time there's a strike. That'd be a little excessive.
No, I would think there's a mechanism that could be
air
used.
Air horn.
We don't have time to get into this today, but Rob Manfred talking about, this is in Jason Stark's story in The Athletic, baseball's going to expand to 32 teams, 16 teams in each league and all that stuff. Don't you have to fix your markets before you expand? Tampa.
Move the bad ones out and somewhere else.
Well, I mean, you have Tampa that's not working. Oakland that doesn't work.
Why does Oakland not work?
I don't know. But it doesn't.
It has.
It has in the past.
Why is it? I mean, is it not?
Well, and people say,
couldn't
well,
you make the argument it's just management?
You could, but the Raiders are leaving. They're going to Vegas.
They are.
The Warriors are leaving. They're going across the bay to San Francisco. They don't have hockey. The A's, there's rumors the A's are going to move to Vegas. Hockey in Vegas was a dynamic success. I'm not talking about the ice. I'm talking about the fans, the draw, the as you said, if you can get Henderson involved, well, they did.
Mm-hmm.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
If you can support 41 hockey dates, you probably can, and you're going to support 8 NFL dates. It's going to be a dynamic NFL market. Probably could support 81 baseball dates.
Okay.
I keep looking at like Nashville and look at how they support the Titans, how they support the Preds, and go, why are they not? I know why they don't have an NBA team, because Memphis has one down the road, but why don't they have a baseball team? Wouldn't it make sense to put baseball in Nashville? And so I just look at it and think, don't you want to fix your markets before you expand?
Oh, I mean, Nashville and Louisville would be better markets than Tampa.
Yeah. And right now, Atlanta and Cincinnati are going, whoa, hold up. Hold up. But, you know, I mean, and I get the romanticism with Montreal, and my God, I loved those uniforms.
Oh,
they were so sexy. But it didn't work.
They left for a reason.
Yeah. So – yeah, it'll work at first. I get it. Everybody be excited. The Expos are back.
Woo.
Yeah, but what happens when the excitement wears off?
You call them the Expos?
Oh, yeah.
Bring back the
Expos. Oh, absolutely. If you're not doing that, then by God, don't do it.
The Nationals don't own the Expos name?
If they do, I'm sure they'd surrender it. They have their own. Yeah, they have their own market now.
Okay.
Their own brand. I mean, they and Walgreens are fighting over that brand.
They are. It's very similar.
It's the same W.
World Cup U.S. 2026 announced this morning. 60 games in the U.S., 10 games in Mexico, 10 games in Canada is the way
semifinals, if I read it right, Chase, are going to be in Atlanta.
In the dome?
Yeah.
Turf.
Yeah. Although I'm sure that by then they will have come up with the science of putting the grass in there to make it work. We've basically done that now. I don't know whether they built that stadium where you could tract the grass in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't comment. I don't know.
Somebody much smarter than us in that area, whatever that area is called.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll play games in Phoenix where they can tract the game in. Mm. The grass in, I should say.
They were in the Rose Bowl in 94 when we had the World Cup. Is that right?
Yeah. Because that's where the
thing happened.
The thing happened where the guy Columbia got killed when he got back. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. 8 years of
Pop. What was his name? Escobar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two Escobars.
That was a great 30 for 30.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, look.
No, it's good. It's fine.
Everyone goes crazy. It's like I said on the board today. I don't know why sometimes soccer and soccer has two things. You have the dominant
the person like me who doesn't have a feeling either way. I don't care. I don't hate it. I don't love it. But the elite soccer fan pisses me off. I'll be honest.
He pisses me off, and the guy who's like, I hate soccer, by God, I hate it. Oh, you're being obnoxious about it. It's like I don't like NASCAR in particular, but I don't.
Well, and there's one of every fringe sport. I mean, there's that elite, irritable soccer fan.
Yeah.
I've got multiple buddies that are the golf version of that dude, too. It's all over the place. Yeah. I mean, so.
The guy that fights for football at all expense. These boys are soft. If they weren't, these soccer boys, if they're playing football, they'd be learning life lessons. Okay, stop. Stop. It's sports.
It's true, obviously, but yeah.
It's just sports. Why can't we be excited that sports work?
It's going to create 60 opportunities for bucket list moments for fans.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I mean,
all right, all good.
Like, if you told me today that I would have tickets to a semifinal World Cup game in Atlanta, I'm in.
I don't care who's playing.
I don't care. I'm in.
Yeah. I'll go watch Brazil play Germany.
I know that is going to be cool. In fact, if you offered, like, I think the average ticket's $431 or something. If you told me today that I could have a ticket to that game, $431, if I wrote the check right
all
now.
All good.
Written it.
Yeah.
Writing it. I'm going, because that's, like you said, that's bucket list.
Another deal with that, too, is, I'm going to be a little more interested in soccer now, because at least I hope we're competitive. I mean, we've got it in the country. Let's be good.
Oh, and I think there's a decent chance. If you study...
Because that's two World Cups away.
I think there's a decent chance if you study the way that the U.S. program's going, there's a decent chance that
we're competitive.
That we're pretty good in 2026.
Yeah, maybe not Final Four, but good.
Yeah.
Just good. Get out, get into the knockout rounds, and let's see what happens.
You know, and it's a cool thing for young players today that are... And don't get me wrong, if anybody's hearing this, I'm not saying Carson, my son, is playing in the World Cup. He's not. But for kids his age, that's a cool thing. You know, if you're kids a little older than him. If you're a 14-year-old soccer guy, 15-year-old soccer guy, and you're an elite player, this is a motivating thing. You could be 23 years old playing on your home soil in the World Cup. It's neat. The sport's growing here. The Nashville club, and they're in the league down from MLS right now. They're going to be an MLS team. They're selling tons of tickets. People are excited. It's good. Atlanta, it's an event. It's cool. It's good. I'm glad to see the sport grow. And I'm not a soccer guy. I don't really know what the hell I'm watching still. But it's cool. I'm glad. And I don't think it takes away from anything.
I mean, here's the deal. I don't know if there's a sport out there where I go, I really wish that wouldn't grow. I mean,
right.
Fine. I mean, in a way, and I look, I have no, I mean, I don't turn it on for 1 second, literally, annually, not 1 second. I do kind of hate that NASCAR hasn't found a way to stay in the mainstream or whatever
too.
You want to say.
I do too. I thought
don't care about it, but just okay.
Yeah. Well, there was a day, I mean, I never have cared about it, but there was a day that when the Daytona 500 came on and
last 50 laps, okay.
I'll watch. It's interesting.
Yeah.
If you've listened to the Beer Garden when Tommy Prater comes on, he'll tell you what happened.
Yeah.
They had a great opportunity.
Love Tommy.
They had a great opportunity and they let it get away because they focused on the big screen instead of the small one. Mm-hmm. That's why the NBA's grown the way the NBA has grown. They have embraced smartphones and things much earlier than others did.
Like Major League Baseball.
Man, Major League Baseball, listen, and I love it. Major League Baseball has an attendance problem. Major League Baseball has an attendance issue this year. It's a precipitous fall. You look at, turn on some of the games that don't involve the marquee teams. Whew. A lot of empty seats. And I'm not going to name markets because people get mad. There's a couple of marquee markets that there's a lot of empty seats in the middle of the week.
We'll have Jeffrey on tomorrow on the show. Again, appreciate Chris giving us time today. Check RebelGrove.com. Again, Russell's story on Taylor Hughes. We've got multiple pieces of baseball content, this podcast, more podcasts coming as well with Soft Verbal and a Beer Garden. And then we'll talk to you on Thursday.